Much to that we unpackaged during this wealth conference is really phenomenal. And I just want to kind of go back a little bit this morning and touch on a few things that maybe will release and bless us and just really encourage us in what it is to possess the wealth of God in our life. You know, Scripture tells us that we may prosper even as our soul prospers. And one of the things that we learn that was so significant the last few days, and when Chris brought out about the principle of inheritance, that was just tremendous, because there's that fatherhood blessing that comes upon the people of God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we won't go into the stories this morning, but most of you remember how that each generation would pass on to the next generation. And when you look at Israel, you look at the plan of God, you always see it was all about family. That's what it's all been all along, is about family. It's not really this thing that we create that we call religion. It's really thrown us off of the real concept of what family is all about, because church is family. But we've made it oftentimes into four walls, doctrines, dogmas, that have limited us in how we can interact with one another. Because it's really when the walls come down, when the things that have hindered or separated us come down, or that we're able to flow together as a family of people. And it's in the family that we have this inheritance that's passed down. See, the kingdom of God is never to be approached that it's just our generation that's going to bring it. Where we're at today is accumulation of generations behind us. And I look at my life, and you look at your life, we see that what we are today is a result of what others have been to us in the past. Now, I'm not saying that entirely, because Christ changes things, and Christ puts you on different courses. But the good things you have in your life, the spiritual things, have been passed down to us from previous generations. When we came to Austin in 1984, it would be very presumptuous of me to think that we actually are the ones that brought a catalyst of change to the city. I will say this, I believe that we were in the timing of God and that we helped promote the catalyst of change, but I believe that the catalyst of change was begun many generations before us. Because how do you gauge, or how do you track that? Because each generation contributes to the building of the kingdom. And that's why in family it's so important that we keep the continuity alive. And, you know, Malachi says in the last days, when the spirit of Elijah comes back to the earth, the fathers are going to be joined with the sons, and the sons are going to be joined with the fathers. And so it's through this fatherhood that we receive this continual flow of blessing to the earth. One of the tragic things is that when a new generation comes along, if they feel like that they're the generation that's going to recreate everything. Because that's the arrogance of the human nature. The human nature says, well, I don't need the previous generation because our generation, we're more illuminated, we have more light, we have more illumination, more revelation than our fathers did. And so that may be true to an extent, but yet without the father's foundation, we have to go back and try to recreate something all over again that God has already spoken to and done in the past. So if we learn this principle that how the old and the new can merge. And when we were so honored, our 46th wedding anniversary, and Chris and Georgian blessed us this last week, and Georgian prophesied over us. He said that God is going to, you know, give us, and he confirmed who we are. He wasn't putting something new out before us, but he said that we have the ability to make that which is old cool, and that which is young, wise. Is that right? See, that's where we're at, because in the days of the kingdom, in the days of the kingdom family expression, we're learning to bring generations together. And I was so blessed Saturday, because we had 16 to almost 80 at the men's meeting. And it was this whole spread of generation. Teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and maybe, I think one guy was maybe 80, but he's not here this morning, so I can talk about him. But it's so rare to see how this unfolds, because this is how God keeps bringing blessing to the earth. And he brings it through the Father. And when Jesus had the revelation of the Father, it wasn't just that he was saying that, here, I've got to obey this guy called my Father. He was saying what we're wanting to do is bring the Father's will to the earth. We want to bring the Father's kingdom to bear here on earth. And, of course, that's the wealthiest people of all, the ones that inherit the kingdom. If we can just get what he has in us, in here, on earth, we're pretty wealthy, aren't we? Do you believe that there's anything that could supplant or be greater than what he is? He's awesome, isn't he? And one of these things out of the conference, too, that one of the quotes that I heard, and it came from Ted Decker, surrender who you think you are to be who you really are. Surrender who you think you are to be who you really are. And we've been hammering away at this for some time now. The Lord has been. It's amazing how God will just keep kind of repeating himself, you know, and after a while we say, okay, enough already, Lord, I've got it. But then he keeps speaking it, so maybe we didn't have it. But that's kind of how revelation is. It just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming until finally there's transformation. So the mind of man, and I'm going to sidetrack just a little bit and get back to this. You've got to understand this, and this is a little bit of what I brought out the other day, was that there's this process of transformation. And it all begins in your mind. Jesus is the author, is he not? But he also makes us an author, because just as he is, we so also upon the earth. So the way the word came to Christ, the way the word brought him forth to the earth, is the same process in how you're brought forth. God speaks a word first. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. But the word of God comes, and we receive it by faith. So that means we're authoring something brand new. Something brand new is about to be. Anytime a seed is planted in you, that means something new is going to be birthed through you. And so what's the Lord trying to do in this hour to bring forth his kingdom? He's trying to birth it. The church, you've got to understand, is the mother. And so we love the mother, don't we? See, a lot of people in the body of Christ today don't love the mother. They disdain it. They reject it. They criticize it. They kick it. They devalue it. But we, as part of the church, must love the church. For Christ loved the church, it said, and gave his life for it. There's no other way to go except through this way. You can't be birthed the way you choose to be birthed. You can't arrive on the scene simply because you think you should. Everything that God does on the earth will be birthed through the church. Now, anything that's birthed outside the church is illegitimate. It's just like Isaac was birthed by the promise, but Ishmael was birthed by the flesh. So what God birthed in his lineage is legitimate. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is legitimate, isn't it? What's birthed outside of the promise is illegitimate. And so, even though Ishmael was loved by Abraham and by God, Ishmael was cast out, wasn't he? Because he wasn't part of the lineage of what God wanted to bring forth upon the earth. Everybody say, thank God, I'm part of the lineage. You really are. You're being birthed by promise because you heard a word from the Lord. And you're right now in the process of becoming something brand new. See, everything God does is like the worm that's being birthed into a caterpillar. A caterpillar that's being birthed into a butterfly. In other words, not the worm into the caterpillar. That'd be self-productive. But the caterpillar being birthed into the butterfly. Because who would have thought it that you, worms, had the potential to become a butterfly? Who would have thought that we humans could become the sons of God. Well, when Christ came, he opened the door for that, didn't he? He was the son that broke through. He was the pattern of the Father. And everyone that looks upon him as the author and hears his words, receives his seed, can become like him. Because he's also the finisher of your faith. You're the finisher. What I'm trying to say is that, guess what? We're in the race with him. When we're running this race out there, this relay that we're a part of, guess what? He's with you. Oh, he's with me. He's with you every step of the way in your race. He will never, and this is so simple, but it's so powerful, because he said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. So do we understand that? He will never, everybody say never, leave us nor forsake us. Say, well, I feel like an orphan. That's not his fault. He's not orphaned. I feel like I'm rejected and people don't understand me. I feel like that everyone's talking about me. Well, okay, that's how you feel, but how does he feel? Because see, you got to realize you can't bring that to the table, because he doesn't think that way. He knows who he is. He knows where he came from. He knows what his purpose is. The Lord is not confused at all about his identity. He never wakes up in the morning and says, I wonder if today I can get up at the right hand of the Father because I really deserve this. I wonder if today if I can intercede for the people because I'm feeling so cruddy about myself, I can't really intercede today. Jesus has no identity problem because his identity was not established by him, but it was validated by the Father who sent him. Your identity problem is not a problem because God has a problem with you. It's a problem because you have a problem with yourself. Doesn't the scripture say that the great commandment is to love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself? When you start loving yourself the way God loves you, then you lose your identity problem. Then it doesn't make any difference what anyone else thinks about you. It doesn't make any difference what anyone thinks about you. Did you know most people in life are controlled by what they think other people think about them? And we make our decisions in life based upon what we think our perception will be, what people's perception will be about what we are. And so we either become timid or bold depending upon what we think they'll react to what we do. It's amazing in the book of Acts that when the Spirit of God came upon them, there was two things that evidenced in their midst. They went out of that place with great boldness and great love. Hallelujah. See, when you're assured of who you are in Christ, you became a freedom rider. You've joined the bus of liberation. I'm going to explain more about that. Isaiah chapter 62. You get on the bus of freedom, because the world's freedom depends upon your freedom. They can't be free unless you're free. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Saw that trailer that they did for Ted Decker when he wrote the book on, what was it called, Bill? The Outlaw. And how that by the age of 29, 58% of people that accepted the Lord when they were younger drop out of church. And I told Ted the other day, you know, I said, I hear you don't like church. And I said, Ted, I have to agree with you. I don't like it either. I said, in fact, if it wasn't for this church, I probably wouldn't go to church. And I'm serious. In a sense. No, if it wasn't for this church, I would be a part of the body of Christ somewhere. I don't believe there's anything as lone wolf as anybody's a lone wolf. I believe we're all part of the body of Christ. We all have an accountability to be a part of something. And I'm not criticizing Ted for that because I know where his heart is. He's doing okay. And God brings every man to a place at a certain time. So that's no problem. So the issue is, who are you? Well, the scripture is very clear to declare to you who you are. And I think we see it so beautifully in Isaiah chapter 61. And we go through the first three verses about when Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. And he says, this is our quotation as well, because that same Spirit that was upon Christ is upon you. And then it says in verse 4, this is what they shall do. And this is talking about you. This is the restoration people right here. They shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Could I venture to say this, that that's not literally speaking about cities made with brick and mortar? Might have an application, but what it applies to you as a kingdom representative is that you are going to be able to go into the hearts of men and women and rebuild the places of devastation. You will become one that declares to your generation that they are healed, they are delivered, they are restored, that they are valued, that they have an identity in who they are in Christ. And the desolation that many have found themselves under of this isolation, desolation, where they've been cut off from the inheritance, you're going to be able to go in and restore the bloodline of inheritance to their life. Amen. The great thing that I love about the Lord is that no matter how long someone has been living in the city of ruin and in the place of desolation, in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, God can restore that individual back to their full inheritance, their full identity. They don't have to pay a penance because of their disobedience. They don't have to go through a process of years to find a place of restoration. Because in the Lord Jesus Christ, he does a transformation that's so quick that it just mind-boggling, because all of a sudden where there's been darkness, now light comes. And when the light comes, there's no remembrance of the darkness. See, that's the thing you got to understand today. I don't care how trapped you may feel, how desolate, how ruined your life may have been, if you'll just let yourself get in the light, the Lord will take all of that out of you. This thing about what Christ did is so incredible. In the cross. Don't you love the cross? Because the cross is this thing that Ted was speaking about the other day, that you come and it's not really about you surrendering what you think. It's about your surrendering to the cross, because the cross will obliterate and devastate and destroy the wrong conceptions about who you are. The thing about the cross is it means finality of death. Death is our best friend, because death to your old nature, to your old self, to your old identity, to your old concepts, to your old misparadigm, death to that liberates you into the liberty of God. It's only when you cease to be what you were that you become who he is. The greatest points in my life, you know, I got such a fresh revelation of this the other day listening. It's this fresh revelation of what suffering and the cross is all about. It becomes my very best friend. The sufferings that I've gone to, Paul said, not worthy to be compared to the glory that's to be revealed in me. That doesn't mean that I'm a suffering person. I don't go out looking for suffering or trying to find it. But if you just walk through this life, you get plenty of it. How many know what I'm talking about? I'm not looking to die. I'm looking to live. But I'm going to identify with what Christ did so that I can truly live, so I can be free and restored and become who I'm supposed to be upon the earth. I love this stuff, don't you? It all begins in my mind. When God speaks a word to us, He plants in us a seed that the Holy Spirit waters. And we may go for a long season not even being aware that something different has been planted in us, and all of a sudden, one day, we realize it's too late to turn back. I once described it as Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I love that show. Remember the show? The guy would be sleeping, you know, and they'd bring in this little pod thing at night, and they'd stick it by him, and this little seed thing. And so and the guy goes to sleep, and during the night, this thing grows. And by the time you wake up in the morning, the pod thing has become that him. And he no longer exists, and the pod exists. And now you've got a new species upon the earth. That's kind of the way God does it. Bringing a new species on the earth. I used to call it the creature feature. You're a brand new creation in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. You are a creature that's been formed by God Himself. You're no longer an Adamic man. You're a Christ man. You're no longer a fallen man, a beaten man, a destroyed man. You're a victorious man. Hallelujah. You're no longer a dumb man. You're a wise man. Looking for stars in the sky. Wise men are the ones that keep looking up, looking for the sign. When you become a wise man, you start looking unto Him. You start looking to the heavens. You start looking to something greater than yourself, because He is greater. He is mightier. He is able. Call upon Him, and He will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. The world is about to see something phenomenal come, because they've seen a church that's been inept, been impotent, emasculated, weak, beggarly, broke, devastated, religious. But they're fixing to find a church to be birthed upon the earth that's strong in the Lord and the power of His might. One that's been anointed from heaven. Woo! No apologies here in who we are. And even with this great boldness and this great intensity of faith that literally shakes the heavens, is a humility that causes the demons to tremble. Because, you see, the enemy has no power against us unless we raise our old ugly head up and try to become something in ourselves. But when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and you let the mighty hand of God in His power raise you up, there's no enemy to challenge you. The only enemy you have is the enemy of your own heart that tries to deceive you. But the enemy that we know as the devil is insignificant when you're in the hand of the Lord. In fact, the Bible said in that day, you'll look at the man and you'll say, look, you'll laugh. You'll say, who's this one that tormented? We look, ha, look at that. And you'll crush him underneath your feet. So that literally means the insignificance of who He is by being able to crush Him under your feet. You don't have to wrestle Him to the ground. You don't have to shoot Him with a gun. You just step on Him. Well, you're stepping on Him because you're declaring who you are. Every time you move out in the Lord, you watch Satan. He's falling from heaven like lightning. He, if you guys see lightning just falling in front of you every you walk, just remember Satan's just coming down. Everywhere you're walking, you're riding the freedom train of liberty. You're declaring liberty to under the captives because of who you are. Your mind becomes the instrument that frees you from the captivity of the past. Your mind is your greatest enemy, or it's your greatest asset. See, God is looking for 007 people on the earth. He wants to come and give you a new mind, called the mind of Christ, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you may prove what is the perfect, the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God in your life. There's no partial will of God. There's no hopeful will of God. There's no little bit of will of God. It's the pure, good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You're not called to be a little triumphant, but mighty triumphant. There's no little victory here. It's a big victory. There's no little righteousness here. It's a lot of righteousness. There's no little grace here. There's mucho grace. Hallelujah. We're a mucho people upon the earth. Some of you don't know what that means. Let me explain. Mucho grande. Is that right? What does that mean? Someone that interprets that Spanish. What does it mean? Very big. Very great. Muy grande. Dios lo bendiga su mano. It means you're triumphant. In the Lord. Muy grande. Woo. Call upon me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not of. This mind that's transformed, it creates the heart of God to the earth. When the mind is transformed, it becomes this powerful instrument that goes and sows seed to the earth. Because it's out of the mind and the heart joining together as one that your mouth opens and out of your mouth flows rivers of living water. They're like seeds that are being planted to the earth to bring forth a kingdom. Say, well, Lord, bring us a kingdom. And the Lord said, no, you bring it. You declare it. You proclaim it. You be it. You do it. It's yours. For now is the kingdom upon the earth. Now is the hour, the power of salvation for you and for the church. We don't have to wait another generation. We don't have to wait for another dispensation. We don't have to wait for another Christ. Because he's already come. And he destroyed the works of the devil. He destroyed the nature of the human nature of resistance that keeps his presence from the earth. We just have to say, yes, Lord, and amen. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Let that destruction come to me that I may surrender who I think that I am, so I may take up who you really have declared me to be. We are your sons, Lord, called by your name. Joined together in union with you. Hearts joined, knitted together with the Lord. His heartbeat, his pulse, his breath, his blood, his bread. One with him in every aspect. I liked what I heard the other day in the conference when he said that, you know, where is the power? Where is this release when we say, well, Lord, we just ask in your name and nothing's happening. Well, what it really means, let's be one with him. It's not just magical. Well, you didn't pray it the right way, brother, so it didn't work. If you had said in Jesus' name and you put a little emphasis on it, then it would have happened. Then others would say, no, you need to say it real reverently, in Jesus' name. So you're not saying it right, brother. It's not working. You're not doing it right. You're not doing church right. If you were really doing church right, then you'd be all right. No, you wouldn't. You can't do this enough to make it right. It's a matter of saying, Lord, we're one with you. Let you manifest through us. That's why the early church, the apostles were walking, and everywhere they went, the shadows were healing the sick. Because it was something that was in them that was emanating from them. It wasn't anything that they went out and said, today we're going to go out and heal a bunch of sick people. It just flowed out of the relationship they had with him. The unity with God began to flow out of their very being. They were bleeding it out of their pores, the presence of God. So they didn't do, they just became. They just became something. They just surrendered something. They just yielded something. They just manifested something. They positioned themselves for wealth. To where all that from heaven could be revealed. I love this stuff. I listen to myself preach, you know. The other day, I watched myself on the deal. And I was kind of beating myself up for a while. Then I thought, quit doing that. You don't need to do that. You know, I mean, nobody likes to watch themselves preach. I mean, unless you're just a real narcissist. So if I do like to watch myself, I'm not going to tell you. Nobody likes to hear their own voice. Say, that sounds like a redneck hillbilly from Mule Shoe. But I try to transcend and not, I'm saying, I'm not looking at this guy that I used to know up there. That's not who I really know. It's not Bill Hart, the guy that I know that messed up. That's somebody speaking from heaven. When I look at it that way, I get something out of it. I like this stuff, and I'm about to close. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. Chose you to be holy and without blame. He didn't choose you to go out and make yourself holy and without blame. You can't do that. See, most Christians are walking in a constant state of nullification of faith because everything that they perceive that's wrong with them, they constantly remind themselves about that. And they're so, by doing that, you've made the devil real again to you because he is the accuser of the brethren. His whole purpose is to find some weakness in you to magnify that weakness, and so you'll amplify it and make it a molehill into a mountain and thus destroy your effectiveness to be bold in faith before God. Quit doing that to yourself. Quit trying to nitpick yourself to death. It's the stupidest thing in the world to be a chicken and chicken yourself to death. Peck yourself to death. Most chickens peck one another to death. That's typical of the body of Christ. But some people in the body of Christ are so chickened, they peck themselves to death. Now, how stupid is that? Sit around and peck yourself to death. What was that? I think that was the Lord roaring from heaven. Or maybe he was going, ha, 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 ha. Maybe when I get there, the Lord will at least say one thing. You made me laugh every now and then, Bill. good for something, right? But quit pecking yourself to death. Oh, there's a blemish. I'm gonna peck those blemishes out of me until they're all gone. Pretty soon you're bled out. Woo, I wish God would give us a sound effect. One time I was preaching in here and I said, and the Lord roars from heaven. Whew. You know what happened? A lightning bolt or something went off right at that very instant, and this whole thunder hit. You ever been under thunder when it's real, real close to it, and it just keeps on roaring? Well, this whole building started shaking. And this is when I said that. I said, wow, man, this is good, man. I've got it going on now. And then I said, Lord, let there be a downpour poured from heaven. Do you feel that trickle? Let there be downpours from heaven. He didn't do it. He probably figured we wouldn't have enough money to replace the carpet, so that's why he spared us. Woo! Oh, man. So, wow. I'm through. I think I preached myself out of memory. They say when you get older, it doesn't take long to go through your memory. You have less brain cells than you had when you were younger. That's why young guys get up and preach. They just go for hours. I say, you just wait about 40 years. It'll catch up with you. That's a bad confession. I bind that confession in the name of Jesus. I'm being renewed every day in my youth. Hallelujah. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm becoming strong in the Lord. I'm mounting up as wings of eagles. I'm running and I shall not grow weary. I'm leaping over barriers. Hallelujah. I'm mounted up like a wing and I'm flying high above the trials of life. I'm victorious in Christ. I may look chronologically up there somewhere, but I'm really young. Hallelujah. I'm really young. I'm young in the Lord. Woo. I surrender that old man so I can become a new man. Whoa. We're going to put a basket at the back, and when you walk by there this morning on your way out, just put your old man in there. I'm not talking about the ladies. Some of you ladies like to dump your old man in the basket, wouldn't you? Yeah. Lord, I'm going to dump this old man in the basket, and I'm going to go, Himla, and hopefully he'll come out a brand new man. Now, he's got to jump in that basket himself. Hallelujah. Well, call upon me, and I shall do great and mighty things that you know not of. How many are going to believe God for some big things in your life that you know not of? Woo, if you knew what God had in store for you, it would freak your mind. I mean, really. The Lord, just show us enough to get us intrigued. And then as every step we take, give us a little bit more. Wow. Oh, I know. 20 years ago, 1995 in October, I was at a meeting in Fort Worth in Pastor Bob Nichols' house. And Dale Gentry looked over at me and said, Bill, I think God's going to elevate you in the business world. And that's about all he said. I pulled out my paper, notebook. By the way, I still use paper and notebooks. Because I'm afraid if I put all my stuff in there, it would all go away someday when I dropped it in the water or something. So I put it in there because I don't know how to work the cloud. So... So I wrote down, and Cheryl remembers this very well, and Donna and some others that were here, you guys, all a lot of people. I wrote down in there, I wrote the name of the company, what it was going to do, what it was going to be. And so within 3 months, we launched a company from scratch, from zero, in October of 95. Within 3 months' time, we had products, we had an office, we had computers, we had staff, we had payroll, we had... payroll, and we had shipping and payroll taxes, and we had all that stuff in 3 months. That was how fast, it was astounding how fast things happened the moment that word was received by faith. Instantly, within a few minutes, the Lord gave the whole thing, outlined it all out. It was birthed in a few minutes. It was implemented in a short time, and a business was launched. That's how quickly God works for you when you call upon Him. He will do something so fast, so exceedingly above what you could think. It will boggle your mind. What I'm telling you is go out of here today with an expectation of the unexpected, with an expectation of change, of divine connections, an expectation of impartation, expectation of getting off of high center and getting into motion with something in your life that's going to change your life drastically. not only is it a spiritual transition, but when that spiritual transition comes, it affects everything about you, spirit, soul, and body. That's the salvation God has for you. 20 years ago, it happened. Bang. Lasted 10 years. It's not here now. But during that time, wow. See, it's not everything is going to last the rest of your life because God has new chapters for you. But every chapter he takes you through is the most exciting, thrilling chapter you can imagine. Because when he writes the book, it's not a book that gets dull. When God writes the book and you just start reading the book, it gets exciting. Every page will captivate you. Every page of your life should be like that. It should everything so new, so exciting, so fresh that you can't wait for the new chapter, the new page, the next reading of that book that's called the book of your life. You're the living epistles to be read and known by all men. Amen? All you got to do is surrender what you've been and become what he says. And you don't even have to do that. He does it for you. I like this stuff, Bill, don't you? Yeah. Wow. Maybe I'll get it this time. No, I did get it. I got a 333 this morning. That means I've got permission to be bold, audacious, faith. Wow. Okay. Stand up. Turn to somebody and say, I give you permission to excel and to win and to be wealthy, to be wise, to be healthy. I give you permission to have a renewed mind, a new vision, a new fire. I give you permission to write a new book, the most exciting book you've ever written and that you've ever read. It's the book about your life. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap.